Now let's come to Micah, the sixth chapter. Let's see why God wants us to be humble, contrite spirit, meek, because see, then he can teach us. We can learn. He can deal with us. Let's pick it up here in verse 6. Micah 6 and verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord? To bow myself down before God the Most High. What are you going to do? What are you going to bring? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings and with calves of a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? What is it that you can do yourself? Well, that's why there's repentance. See? He says, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my life? What is it? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God? That's what God wants. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now let's come back to Matthew, the fifth chapter, and let's see the next one here. All the Beatitudes are important because these are the things that are going to give us the spiritual strength coupled with God's Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, study, and fasting, which will see us through the difficult times. All right, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn. Matthew 5, verse 4. Okay? Blessed are those who mourn when you see something horrific happen, for they shall be comforted. Now let me ask you a question. What is the Holy Spirit called? The Comforter. Now that is the comfort that comes from God, which can come from no other source, because it is the Spirit of God which will give you peace of mind, which then will help you deal with the difficulties that this causes you, whatever it may be, emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually. Now, I feel sorry for all of those who are involved in the many difficulties and problems that we have seen occur with the mass shootings and things like this, because these people do not understand about the plan of God. They have no clue concerning the second resurrection. So they have no hope, and there is virtually no comfort or level of acceptance that they can come to, having lost children in such a massacre or having lost family members in such difficult times. So we need the Holy Spirit to comfort us. All right? Let's come to Psalm 69. This is quite a psalm here. Psalm 69. Now think of what Jesus had to go through. Psalm 69. Think of what Jesus had to do. Now remember, he was God manifested in the flesh, and it was said of him there in John, the second chapter, that he did not commit himself to any man because he knew what was in man. Now the mourning can be things that happen to others, things that happen to yourself, and also we need to understand that once we have comfort and have experienced the whole cycle from tragedy and from recovery to comfort, that then we can help comfort others. All right? Psalm 69, let's pick it up here in verse 1. Save me, O God, for the waters have come in upon my soul. Now, these are some of the words of Christ. Remember that Jesus cried out to the Father, who was able to save him from death. In fear, I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. Now, see, a lot of these things David was able to write down in the Psalms because God gave him the inspiration. and you read the Psalms all the way through, just start reading all the Psalms all the way through, you are going to be amazed how much trouble David was in all his life. And that was a type of Christ in many of these things. Here's part of it here. I have come into deep waters where the floods overwhelm me. I am weary with my crying. My throat is parched. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Those who hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of my head. That's Christ. Everyone was against him. Those who would cut me off are mighty, being wrongfully my enemies. Should I restore what I did not take? O God, you know my foolishness. Now that's David there. That's not Christ. Christ didn't have any foolishness. My sins are not hidden from you. Do not let those who wait on you, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed because of me. Let not the ones who seek you be ashamed because of me, O God of Israel. Because for your sake, I have borne reproach. Shame has covered my face. I've become a stranger to my brothers, an alien to my mother's children. For the zeal of your house has eaten me up, and the reproaches of those who reproached you have fallen upon me. And so that tells you the attitude that Jesus had. He mourned. He groaned. We'll see that a little bit later here. All right. Let's come to Psalm 13. Psalm 13. Now, sometimes you will feel really down. How do you recover from that? How do you receive comfort and understanding from that? By going to God. Praying like it's prayed here in the Psalm. Pour your heart out to God. Verse 1, Psalm 13. How long will you forget me, O Lord? You ever felt like God has forgotten you? Troubles and difficulties? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my heart, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Now, these are some of the ways you can pray to God, too. These very words. You have troubles, you have difficulties, whatever they are. Don't let them overwhelm you. Verse 3, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Enlighten my eyes, and that comes with comfort, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have overcome him, and my foes rejoice when I am moved. But as for me, here's the solution right here. If it's overwhelming, if you're moaning, if you're groaning, if you are going through things, but as for me, I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Always remember this. If you are in a dark trouble of difficulty, or as we just read, you're in the deep waters, or as it was said, you're sinking in the mire, you know, like quicksand, and you feel helpless, and everything you try to do makes it worse. Everything you try to do doesn't work. Well, this is how you are to call out to God. He will help you. He will make it work. He will cause it to happen. Now, let's also see something important here. Ezekiel 9. Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. Because we're coming to a time very similar to this, where there are going to be very few who are doing good. And this is where Psalm 91 comes in too. And this is where endurance and patience come in too. Just because everything in the world around you is coming apart, just because things mount and get worse, even though you may groan, even though you may mourn, even though you may say, oh God, that's really a difficult thing to see or understand or to hear. Remember this. Come here, Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. God watches over every single one. That's why Psalm 91 can be keyed to Ezekiel, the 9th chapter. See, doesn't matter. 10,000 fall at your right hand, 1,000 at your left hand. Okay, verse 1. And he cried in my ear with a loud voice, saying, let the executioners of the city draw near. This is a time when God intervenes with destruction. Even each one with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, 6 men came from the way of the upper gate, which faces north, and each one had his slaughtering weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, and a writer's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood before the bronze altar. And the glory of the God of Israel had gone down from the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the men clothed, called rather to the man clothed in linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, in the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men who are groaning and who are mourning because of all the abominations that are done in her midst. And you need to understand, that's why Lot left, was able to escape Sodom. And he said to those in my hearing, go through the city after him. So God's protection is going to come first. How long before? We don't know. Now, you can also liken this to the 144,000, the great innumerable multitude of Revelation chapter 7. You can liken this to those who are taken to a place of safety, Revelation the 12th chapter. You can liken this to those who are protected just where they are because God intervened with his angels. And of course, the executioners and the man with the inkhorn and a pen, those are angels of God. And he said to those in my hearing, go through the city after him and slaughter. Let not your eyes spare nor have pity. Fully destroy old men, young men, and virgins, and little children, and women. Now see, without the second resurrection, people cannot understand why God would do this. And the reason is that they don't know what God is doing. Now, God is going to resurrect them with a new life, new body, new mind, second life in the flesh, to live where there is peace, love, joy, faith, all the things that they need to recover from this. So you see, we need to look to the end of the matter. But do not come near any man on whom is the mark. And begin at my sanctuary, right with the priest and the Levites first. And they began with the old men who were before the temple. And he said to them, defile the temple. Now here's a lesson. See, if people do not serve God the way that he says, and they bring in their sins, because remember what happened to the temple. They brought in the idols, they brought in the homosexuals, they brought in all of these evil things right into the court of the temple of God. So you need to understand why God does this. Where were the priests who should have said, no, get these out of here? Where were the Levites who were the ones to protect it? Where were they? They should have had their swords and driven them out. No, but they let it become corrupt. You see, we can look and see that this is happening even today in what is called Christianity. It is becoming so corrupt. Look at the governments. They're becoming so corrupt. I mean, you watch the nightly news and everything is corrupt, just like I read last week. Wounds and bruises and putrefying sores from sole of the foot to the top of the head. And they can't stop it. They know all of these things are corrupt and wrong, but they are in such a grips of evil, they can't stop it. So it's going to come to this. This will be repeated over and over again in many countries, in many cities around the world. when the tribulation starts. And he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with slain. Go out and do what I say. And they went out and slaughtered in the city. And it came to pass, as they were slaying them, I was left alone. Then I fell on my face and cried and said, ah, Lord God, will you destroy all the remnant of Israel in your pouring out of your fury on Jerusalem? And he said to me, the iniquity of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great, and the land is full of blood, and the city is full of perversity. For they say, the Lord has forsaken the land, the Lord does not see. And I, my eye shall not spare, and I will I not have, I nor will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head. Behold, the man clothed with the linen and the inkhorn by his side reported the matter, saying, I have done as you have commanded. So that's quite a thing. Now we will see more and more of this kind of thing take place. And so the only help and strength we can get is through God. Now, let's come and see how things affected Jesus. Let's come to the 11th chapter of John. Now, Jesus had all these emotions like we do. And Jesus understood even more human life, human thinking, sin, righteousness, goodness, all of that. He understood it more than any human being could ever possibly understand. And he had to see the good. He had to see the evil. He had to work with his disciples to teach them. Even though right up to the end, what did he say? He said, why are you so hard-hearted? You don't believe. Eh? Yet when they were converted, God used them. Okay. Now this has to do with the account of Lazarus being raised from the dead after he had died. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 32. This is the way that people react. Then Mary, when she came where Jesus was and saw him, fell at his feet, saying, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. We say things like that lots of times too, very similar to it. Okay. As a result, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in spirit and was himself inwardly moved. That's what happens to us when we see all these things going on. And he said, where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. There are things that will happen that we will weep. And the only comfort we're going to have is with God. Then the Jews said, see how much he loved him. But some of them said, could not this man, who had the power to open the eyes of the blind, also have caused this one not to die? But he did let him die, didn't he? Yes. And that's why God let so many people die. See, if there is not a God with love and justice and truth, to overcome everything that Satan the devil has done, to overcome everything that men have done, to have power greater than all of these catastrophes, and to make them right, and to do so at a time that it will bring salvation. See? That's how we need to view what God is and what he is going to do, because he has the power to do it. But you see, unless he allows mankind and all of mankind to go as far as they desire in their evil and their wretchedness, they will never be convinced that God's way is best. So that's the way that God has worked it out. Now notice, verse 38, because of this, Jesus again groaned within himself, sorrowful at their attitude. Of course, they didn't know. They're blind. They have eyes to see, but see not. They have ears to hear, but hear not. Groaned within himself as he came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was laid over the opening. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who had died, said to him, Lord, he already stinks, for it has been 4 days. Now, you see, the truth is, it doesn't matter if it's 4 days, 4 years, 400 years, or 6,000 years. God can correct it. No one else can. Verse 40, Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you will believe, you shall see the glory of God? Then they removed the stone from the tomb where the dead man had been laid, and Jesus lifted his eyes upward and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Even the thought before the prayer. Well, we need to remember where we started, the faith of Jesus, the faith from God. And I know that you hear me always, but because of the people who stand around, I say this, so that they may believe that you did send me. And after he had spoken these things, he cried with a loud voice. Imagine what it was. Here, just picture this. The whole crowd there, all boo-hooing, moaning and groaning. And, you know, Martha saying, oh, he's already dead 4 days. You know, and I don't know how many detractors there were there. But here they were. Said, roll away the stone. Gave this short prayer, and then he commanded, Lazarus, come out. And he walked out, removing the wrappings around his head. Now, we don't know what he said, but I've often wondered, what did he think when he got out there and saw all these people? And then he looked at himself, and all these grave clothes fell off of him, and he was undoing it. You know, because he had been sleeping the sleep of death for 4 days. And it's not recorded what he said. But I wonder if he didn't say, what are you all doing out here? I said, you've been dead 4 days. Oh, really? All right. So that was something. Now notice, even this didn't convince many people. Some did. Then many of the Jews who had come to console Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees. Yes, we got a report to the religious leaders. Yes, we are faithful even in the face of a miracle. Yes, we're faithful to them, not to God. And told them what Jesus had done. Notice their attitude. They all rushed out, came down before Jesus, fell on their knees, tearing their garments and pulling their beards and saying, oh, Lord, we've repented. We're sorry. No. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council. I love that. How many times does it say in the New Testament? And they gathered a council. And I always think of this. The proverb says, in a multitude of counsel there is wisdom, but you have to add something to that. If there are wise people on the council. But if there aren't wise people on the council, if there aren't righteous people on the council, and if they don't want to do right, then you're going to come up with an evil judgment because of their blindness that happened. Look at this great miracle that took place. Even Jesus was moaning and groaning. Okay? And they said, what shall we do? For this man does many miracles. If we allow him to continue in this manner, all will believe him, and the Romans will come and take away from us both this place and the nation. But a certain one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you have no understanding. I have the solution. See? And this was determined for him to say that. And I wonder when Caiaphas is resurrected, what he's going to say. Nor consider that it is better for us. Only thinking about themselves. sound a little bit like Washington, LDC, liars, deceivers, okay? That one man die for the people, then that the whole nation should perish. Now, he did not say this of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, okay? But not for the nation only, but also that he might gather together in one the children of God who are scattered abroad. And what does that mean? That means those who are in the graves. And a prophecy of all of those who would be faithful and live and die and be put into graves and wait the resurrection. The whole picture of everything is here. See? The picture of the second resurrection by Lazarus coming back to a new physical life so he could be converted and attain salvation. The death of every human being, because God was not there to rescue them, and all accuse God and say, well, he didn't stop this. Or you can go back and look at the flood. God caused it. See, that's why what the knowledge we have from the Bible and the second resurrection for solving the ills of the world and people's lives, remember, those people are just as important to God in his plan at his time because he created them all, did he not? Yes, indeed. So blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. And think of the comfort that's going to happen at the second resurrection. Do you imagine that? Can you imagine? Think of all of those, you know, one nice sunny morning there in Hiroshima, Nagasaki. The civilians were just going about their business. They didn't know it was going to happen. They didn't know that a plane at 36,000 feet, which you could not hear on the ground, was going to fly in and drop an atomic bomb on them. And at the instant of explosion, 100,000 were incinerated, gone. And all those who survived, all the trouble and difficulty they went through, you know, when those people are resurrected, think what it's going to be like. Think what it's going to be like for the Jews who were in Hitler's concentration crematorium camps. Think of the last thing that a Jew was thinking when they were herded naked into the gas chambers. Now, you're all going to go in there and take a shower. Wunderbar. All the bodies. I think is when I see some of those documentaries on how they made the Germans go out and see what was being done, though they all knew. But it shows what happens when a nation becomes captive under a satanic system, and the whole world's going to come under the satanic system in this world, just like a great enslaving camp. And that's why Christ has to return, see? So we need the Spirit of God. We need the faith of Christ. We need the comfort of God. We need to understand what is going to happen and realize that God has called us to be an integral part of the solution and saving the world. So we're going to have to live through these times. But if we have God's Spirit and understand God's Word, then we are going to make it through. So we'll continue next time with the Beatitudes. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.